Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now to give you the opportunity to call and get an immediate answer to your question or discuss the important issues you face in life right now. The toll-free number is 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC, or the full number 844-322-2742. Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ this month, and of all things in human history, this is the event that brings hope into our lives. We live in a dark world, a bleak world, a dreary world, something that feels oppressive. And yet in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can have hope, a hope for a new day, a hope for a new beginning, a hope for a new life. And that's exactly how the apostles couched the resurrection. For example, in 1 Peter, Peter wrote this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." What is this living hope? Well, it's Jesus Christ himself. Well, that gets back to the point, how do we know that he's really alive today? I mean, the gospel accounts talk of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The eyewitnesses say that he appeared to him, some 500 people that he appeared to between the time of his resurrection and the time of his ascension. But how do we know those are credible? And is it probable that resurrection could actually occur? Well, Peter addresses that as well. As we move down further into this first chapter, verse 20 said, "He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." This resurrection of Jesus Christ wasn't a made-up story. It was something that God made happen. Through God's power, he overcame death and raised Jesus back to life. And I love what Paul said in his trial before King Agrippa. He said, "Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead?" It's just what God does.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not beyond his realm. He is fully capable of bringing someone back to life.
Yeah.
And we see that fully and powerfully demonstrated in Jesus Christ. And because it happened, we have hope. Mm-hmm. Not just a hope that's, you know, out there. It's a living hope that we're connected to, because just as Christ was raised from the dead physically, we're raised from the dead spiritually.
Yeah.
That's good news.
That is good news, and this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us for this edition. Plenty of open lines, plenty of time. If you've got a question that you'd like to pose to the guys, why, give us a call right now, 844-32-BASIC. Again, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis, and again, thank you for joining us.
Indeed. Well, let's go to Jersey City and talk to somebody with just a fabulous name.
Absolutely.
Bob. Hey, yes. Bob.
Greetings and salutation, gentlemen.
And to you as well.
Yeah, there was a lady on yesterday from Maine who had opposite opinions from her Catholic sister. Do you remember?
I do.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, all right. Now, I have some quotations here to strengthen the Protestant position. Matthew 1:25, that after Mary delivered Jesus, she had union with Joseph, so she wasn't eternally a virgin. And Luke 2:7, Jesus was the firstborn of Mary, so he had other brothers and sisters.
Yes.
And also Luke 1:28, Mary was blessed among women, but not above women. So these verses would strengthen the Protestant position.
Concerning Mary, yes, yes,
absolutely.
Indeed, you are correct, yes. Bob.
Yeah, and right. Mary was not eternally a virgin. After she delivered Jesus, she had union with Joseph, and that's in the, I believe, King James Version and the NIV.
Well, and Matthew also lists out who Jesus' brothers and sisters were. He names the brothers and talks about the sisters. So that we do know that Mary and Joseph had union with each other.
Correct.
And they brought children into the world.
Yes.
Jesus was the exception. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit.
He was the firstborn.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Right.
So
he was the elder. He was the oldest.
You're exactly right, Bob. Thanks for sharing those passages with
Thank
us today.
You,
we
God
certainly
bless.
Appreciate it. Yeah. That's one of those confusing things because for so long people just carry on traditions and they never ask the whys or the wherefore. So if you grow up believing that Jesus or that Mary was a virgin eternally, that she never had sex with Joseph, you're blinded to what the Word of God clearly says, because it clearly says that Jesus had brothers and sisters. So we have to ask these questions about traditions. You know, are these traditions based on what the Bible has to say? Is it based on what the church has brought forward? Does it contradict what the Bible has to say? So I have to figure out the whys and the wherefores of these traditions. And the only way to judge those traditions is by the Word of God. The Word of God is our standard of truth, nothing else. And so if it doesn't match up with what the Word of God clearly says, then I think we need to have the courage to discard those traditions.
Yes.
A lot of times we feel like our toes are being stepped on and these sacred cows are just being tumbled. But if they're not true, if they don't align themselves with the clear teaching of the Bible, then our toes need to be stepped on and these cows need to be tumbled. That's just the way it is.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and it's so easy for us. And this isn't just about Catholic tradition. Protestants have their own traditions as well. Human beings create a tradition instantly when something works. You know, if a particular song was sung and it had a very strong impact, well, suddenly you're singing it every other week. If somebody said something in a particularly good way, well, suddenly we're quoting that and that becomes the truth instead of what the scripture is. So we just have to recognize it in ourselves that we have this tendency to create traditions instead of keeping our brains turned on and letting the Word of God inform us of what truth really is.
Yes.
And I love the book from, it's been about 20 years ago, that Sacred Cows Make the Best Hamburger. There's a book written like that. That's a great title.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Bob, thank you so much for your call. We certainly appreciate it. God bless you, my friend.
And as we said before, the reason we offer a live broadcast is so that you can get an immediate answer to your question. That's why we're here. We'd love to hear from you. If you've got that question, generally understand a Bible passage. That's why Bob Christopher and Richard Piper are here, and I'm here to introduce them. So give us a call, 844-322-2742 or 844-32-BASIC. In the meantime, guys, from Rose, a question about death. She says, the dead will rise with Christ and those who are still living, and with those who are still living. In Revelation, it says, when God judges, he will take those out of hell also to be judged. My question, she says, is when we die, are we resting in our bodies until the Lord takes us, or does our spirit go immediately to heaven or hell, as the case may be?
Interesting question. We all want to know what happens after death. The Bible clearly says that those who are in Christ are absent from the body and present with the Lord. So what state that is in, we're not sure. The Bible doesn't give us a lot of clear answers. We know that there's going to be a resurrection of the body, and that's a future event. Well, trying to merge time, our time system, with eternity, that becomes a mind-boggling experience.
Yes.
As far as God is concerned, everything is already present. We're already seated with Christ in the heavenly places. That's what the Bible has to say. So how we merge those things together, that takes a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, and I think that's what leads to so much of the confusion, because I will try to explain something as best I can, and if somebody likes it, that becomes their tradition. And then if they hear somebody else's reasonably good explanation, now they're confused. And all of us keep bouncing our ideas off of each other instead of off the Bible. And when you study the Bible, you learn very quickly to accept what it says and don't go any farther. Don't speculate beyond what it says. Just take what it says. And there's more than enough there to give us hope and eternal life and all the things
we need.
Yes,
indeed. So for those of us who are in Christ, we know that when we die, we are absent from the body and present with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that's the key truth, present with the Lord. This is all about Jesus.
Yes.
This gospel message is about Jesus. It's his death, his burial, his resurrection. He goes to prepare a place for us. He's going to come back, and he's going to take us to be where he is so that we can be in his presence forever. That's the gift that we receive, being in the very presence of God. He's in our presence right now. He has come to live inside of us through his indwelling spirit. When we're absent from this body, we're going to be in his presence. That's what this story is all about. We're looking at a place, a location, and it's really all about a person. I live in Christ now. I'm going to be with Christ forever.
Yeah. Well, Bob, I know you and Richard agree that we love hearing from our listeners. And friends, if you have something you'd like to pose by email, well, you can find the email link when you visit our website, basicgospel.net. Right now, still plenty of time on the clock and open lines at 844-32-BASIC.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to New York and talk with Frank. Hi, Frank.
Hello, gentlemen. God bless you. I haven't spoken with you for a long time.
I know. Well, good to hear from you, Frank. How are you doing these days?
Yeah, a little cold, but that's okay. I like the cold weather. Yeah, I was going to dispute what that last caller said about the brothers and sisters of Christ. We have to look, like you said, at the Bible for this. I'm going to give you a lot of verses here, so you know, which is going to disprove what he just said.
How can you disprove that Jesus had brothers and sisters?
Okay, well, they weren't his siblings. Let me give you an example. I'll give you a few examples. In 1 Chronicles 26, you have a man named Jerijah, and it says, and his brothers, capable men, were 2,700 in number. So he had 2,700 brothers, this man, but they were not his siblings, obviously. Lot, for example, is called Abraham's brother in Genesis 14:14. Even though being the son of Haran, Abraham's brother, in Genesis 11, he was actually Abraham's nephew. Similarly, Jacob is called the brother of his uncle Laban in Genesis 29:15. Kish and Eleazar were the sons of Mahlai, and Kish had sons of his own, but Eleazar had no sons, only daughters who married their brethren.
Well, let's bring that forward to Jesus. What's your point about Jesus, and how does your point explain the verse in Matthew 13:55, which says, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? Aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him.
Right. The problem there, Bob, is this. The word for brother in the ancient Hebrew and even in the ancient Greek could mean a variety of things. It could mean your brother. It could mean your countryman. It could mean your kinsman. It could even mean your relative. So we can't jump to the conclusion that Mary necessarily, just from these verses, had other children.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Frank. You believe that Mary was a virgin, that she did not have sex after delivering Jesus. Is that true?
That is the historic teaching of the church with very, very good reason. The reason.
Well, I'm asking, is that what you believe?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And I'm gonna tell you why.
Okay, so that is going to shape your view of this passage, isn't it?
I'll explain to you why, Bob.
Well, just answer that. That will shape your view of this particular passage where it clearly says that Jesus had brothers and sisters.
Yeah, but I just explained to you that it could not necessarily mean that they were his siblings, these brothers and sisters of his. They could have been his countrymen or his relatives. You have to understand, Bob, at the cross, when Jesus was dying, he gave his mother into the charge of John, not to these so-called brothers and sisters. That would have been a Jewish disgrace if they were real siblings of his. Another problem is this. Mary has been historically called by the church the new Ark of the New Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament contained three things. It contained the manna which came down from heaven, which was the Word of God. and which Aaron's rod, which was a sign of his high priestly authority, and it also contained
the tablets of stone.
The manna was the bread of God, and it also contained the word of God, the commandments. Now, and it was built from incorruptible wood, it says in the Septuagint version of the Bible. Now, Mary, look what Mary had in her own body. She didn't have the manna that came down from heaven. She had the ultimate bread from heaven, Jesus Christ. She had not a high priest in her body, but the ultimate high priest, Jesus Christ. And she had the ultimate word of God, Jesus Christ, not just the commandments, but commandments of the law. So she had to be incorruptible. She had to be. If we go by the epishadse, the original Greek, which was the Holy Spirit which shined down upon the Ark of the Covenant of the Old Testament, it shined down on her in the same exact way. And just because it says Mary and Joseph did not have any other children until Jesus was born. Well, there's a lot of that argument is 15 centuries old. Jerome blew that argument apart, which I don't have the time to do on your station, 15 centuries ago. Until doesn't mean anything. The Bible says Jesus is going to reign until he puts all the enemies under his feet. Well, does that mean he's not going to do it afterwards? Of course he is. So Mary remained a virgin. You have to look at the
well,
writings
Frank,
of the church.
Frank, no need to. You've made your point. And like I said, I believe that you believe what you're saying here because of this tradition. So you're allowing this tradition to shape your view of what the scripture has to say. I think it's very clear that Jesus had brothers and sisters, and that Joseph and Mary had intercourse to bring those into the world. That's what I think the Word of God has to say. So,
Bob, you can find that nowhere in the Scripture. Paul said in 2
You can't find what you're saying in the Scripture.
No, you said intercourse. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2:15, hold fast to the traditions which you have learned from us, whether by word of mouth or epistle. Some Bibles translate it, whether by letter or the spoken word. So,
well, Frank,
Bible,
I appreciate
we
your.
We don't go by the Bible alone, Bob. We go by the spoken oral tradition, which was handed down from the apostles to the presbyters of the church, subsequent presbyters, and also by Scripture. That's the whole community of faith that we receive, the deposit of faith.
Yeah. Well, I think what we've received is clearly written for us in the Word of God, and we're going to contend for what's been once delivered to the saints. Everything that we need to know about the Word of God or about God is contained for us in the Word of God. It is our standard for truth. Now, you hold a different belief than that, and that's okay. So you're holding up the Word of God, and you're holding up the oral traditions, and you're putting those two together. But here's what I'm going to say. Anytime the oral tradition contradicts the Word of God, you're going to go with the oral tradition. You're going to go with the tradition of the church. And I don't think that's the way to go. That's how I see it, and I think it's important for us to hold the Word of God high, just as you were talking about. The Word of God put in the Ark of the Covenant. Why? Because that was the important thing for the people of Israel, and it's the important thing for us today. What does the Word of God have to say? Well, Frank, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it.
Yes.
One of the things I love about Frank's calls is that even though he disagrees with us, he does so cogently and lovingly. I'd love to go out to lunch with him if I was ever in New York. And so, folks, if you're listening to this, you're not listening to an argument where we're accusing each other of being bad things. We're really talking about belief systems. And the Bible can either stand up to the scrutiny or it can't. So don't take our word for it. Don't take Frank's word for it. Go into the Word of God yourself and see what you find.
Absolutely. Well, again, you've tuned to Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis, and we have open lines and time remaining on the clock. That number, 844-32-BASIC. Give us a call. We want to hear from you. Want to hear your questions and your particular life issues. We'd love to take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution. In the meantime, a question from Mike says, I've been alone for many years, and now more than ever, I desire to meet a woman to share with, to love with, to laugh with, and even to marry if it's right. What I'm confused and troubled about is reading 1 Corinthians 7:2, that if a woman, for example, who is not a widow, that she is in a prior relationship or a prior marriage, when the time comes after marriage to show affection to one another, are we committing sin? For I want to be right with the Lord, but not be alone in doing so.
So he wants a wife.
Wants a wife and wants to make sure that everything is just exactly right.
Well, I think if somebody's looking for a wife, find somebody that's a believer. Find a Christian woman, somebody that knows Jesus, and establish a relationship based on her relationship with Christ and your relationship with Christ. That's what's going to bring the two of you together. And allow the Lord to shape that relationship as he sees fit. There's so much, you know, that we're talking about. And if you find a woman and, you know, the physical attractions and all of that just become too much for you to withstand, to overcome, marry the woman. I think that's what the scripture has to say.
Yeah, well, his question, I think, is around the issue of someone who has been married previously and then after remarrying or divorced, you know, and then after remarrying having a sexual relationship. His question is that adultery?
Well, the law might judge it so, but we've been, you know, we have to come to the point and say, what's wise? I mean, if you've been divorced and you've been away from that for a long time, you know, we've got folks that would say, well, you know, you can't ever get married because if you do, you're going to be an adulteress. Well, does God call you that? Well, not if you're a child of God. God calls you a child of God. You're a saint. You've been set apart, sanctified. So if you get married, is he gonna punish you? Is he gonna kick you out of the kingdom? Some people would say divorce and remarriage, that's the unpardonable sin, but that's not the case. And they would say, well, if you're gonna get married, you have to go and get married to the guy you divorced. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what if that's not a possibility? What if that guy's married to somebody else? Well, what do you do with that? What do you do at that point? Well, I think if God brings somebody into your life and you build a relationship with that person around the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that leads to marriage, then I think you can go forward with that. And I don't think you have to feel guilty. I think God would bless and honor that relationship. But don't just do it because you want to get married. Don't just do it because, you know, you miss the sexual aspect of it. Have some wisdom about your decisions. Let God's Spirit lead. So often we want to know, is it okay for us to do this?
Yeah.
Instead of saying, what's the wise thing? What's the wise thing? How is the Lord going to lead us? Can we put ourselves into God's hands? Can we trust his leadership in our lives when it comes to relationships? And if we can do that, I think we're going to be okay. That's the big issue. Am I willing to trust God's leading in my life as far as relationships are concerned?
Yeah.
If you can do that, let him lead you. You'll be okay.
Absolutely. I want to turn to Richard for just a moment. And Richard, would you share your perspective on why it's important for our listeners, people who have been benefiting from what they've heard on this broadcast, to support it on an ongoing basis?
Well, it's quite easy, actually. If you're listening and have been listening for any length of time, you have heard the calls that people tell us that they've been impacted by this message, that they have gotten into a brand new relationship with Jesus because of what we do. That's not us. That's the Holy Spirit,
right,
doing what only the Holy Spirit can do. But what the Holy Spirit is doing through us is taking that message of the gospel to people all over the place.
Yeah.
And if you want to be with us as we advocate for these people who need to be meeting Jesus, you can't invest in a better ministry than Basic Gospel.
I agree. Thank you for that word, Richard. And friends, if you can go online right now to basicgospel.net and join us in supporting this ministry, we'd love for you to do that. Again, it's basicgospel.net, or you can call during Central Time office hours and speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Again, 844-412-2742. And for any of you who can make a gift at this particular time, a copy of Andrew Farley's book, The Naked Gospel, can be yours. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob and Richard of the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.